You are listening to a digitally remastered class of HaRav Yochanan Zweig, Rosh HaYeshiva of the Talmudic University of Florida.
I want to deal this morning with a question that's bothered me really for a number of years. It seriously bothered me, and I sort of put it on the back burner, even though I have it's a very fundamental question. That is, our numbers are very small. The numbers of Jews are very small. And among the Jews, numbers that are in general, and an infinitesimal part of the population, the Jews that are committed to Torah values is almost a very small fraction of Jews. And yet, our stated purposes, according to the way Mutzada learns, the Mishnah says like this, Rabbi Yomer, Yudan Nosi says, Ezehu iderech yishor shiyover loy ha'odom. What is the proper path a man should take? Kol shehi teferis lo seha, it's beautiful, the person doing it, teferis lo min ha'odah. So most people learn it's beautiful to the person doing it, and beautiful to the people watching it. The Mesilas Yesharim Lutzato says another interpretation, kol teferis lo seha, it perfects the person that's doing it. Now, teferis lo min ha'odah, these are his exact words, tikun achvis hamedinas. Fixing up international brotherhood, which means we have a responsibility not only to ourselves, we have a responsibility as Jews to fix up the world at large. Anybody living in a condo knows you can't even fix up the building. We get about the block. The building is a war zone usually, right, Mr. Myers?
No.
And therefore my question becomes a very simple question. How can we fulfill our role as Jews, which is an injunction that we have to fix up the world when we have so little numbers, so little influence, so little money, so little power? How can we even begin deluding ourselves that we are really have this international responsibility? Now, this is a question that's been bothering me for a few years. I never wanted to think that I was like this Indian chief, medicine man, all painted up, dancing around, you know, a horror over there, and thinking he's bringing rain in the morning. You know, he's bringing rain. It's not hard for a person to delude themselves, but how as Jews do we understand that our responsibility, you know, and this has been a question that's been bothering me, I mean, literally for a few years. How can we feel comfortable and believe that we have this international responsibility to create brotherhood and we don't have the numbers or the money or the power? How can we, you know, I understand 1.5 billion Chinese are able to fix up the world, but how can a infinitesimal fraction of people that have almost zero power be able to fix up the world? That's the question that bothers me. This morning I'd like to, maybe we have some insight here. Let's turn to page 79. But I just want to know whether it's hopeless. You know, sometimes you have a feeling that, you know, I don't want to ever be as a Jew, have the feeling that, you know, you ever see a log floating down the river filled with ants, you know, millions of ants on a log, and it's floating down a river, and each ant thinks he's steering the log. You know, you don't want to start deluding yourself that you're steering the log. So really, how is it possible that we could even have any rational way of explaining our message and vision in life? And this has been bothering me for some years, just that you can feel comfortable that you're not deluding yourself. The Yiddishkeit is the center of the world, and obviously it can't be because you're totally powerless. Let's take a look. Page 79. There's a sentence here I think that maybe gives us some insight in this. I hope it's a satisfactory. I think for me it's beginning to become a satisfactory answer. 79. Sentence 7. Loi meirubchem mikol ha'amim. Not because of the numbers of Jews from all the nations, because you have so many people. Choshak Hashem bochem, God loves you. Vayivchar bochem, and He chose you. Ki atem hamaat mikol ha'amim, you are actually from the fewest of peoples. So the number of problems here. One question that the Rashbam asks on this commentary on the Torah is, what kind of thought do Jews have to be told they are not a large number. You don't have to tell somebody. They know. They know they're a small part of the... How could the Jews have thought that they're the most numerous of all the nations, that God has to tell them you're not? They knew that. They knew they're not the most numerous of nations, so they shouldn't have been told. The only answer that he comes up with, if you go back the sentence, this is chapter 7, sentence 7. If you go back to chapter 7, sentence 1, he says that perhaps the Torah is dealing in this limited context, that you read sentence 1 is, when your God brings you to the land that you are coming to inherit, you will inherit the nations, many nations, and list them, the Chiti, Agirgoshi, Amorak, Nani, Aprizi, Achivi, the seven nations that were settled the land of Israel. So he says that maybe the sentence is saying that doesn't mean Meruchem Mikolamim, you are the largest of all the nations in the world. It just means maybe the Jews could have thought that the reason they're getting the land of Israel as opposed to the nations that are living there, that they are a larger group than the nations that are already in the land. That's what he says. But if you look at the very sentence that he says it's referring to, let's go back to that sentence on page 77. He says that when God brings to the land, you're going to inherit many nations. Seven nations that are more in number and stronger than you. So the Torah tells us, if you look at 7:1, God already informed us of this. So now what does he have to repeat? Lo merubchem. It's not because of your numbers. He told them, he already said that they are greater in, that the nations living there are greater in number. Anyway, so it's very difficult. Maybe it means that you're greater than any one of them, but not all together. It's very, very difficult to understand. But that's his question. Another question Ramban asks over here, why should a person have thought that God loves because of numbers? Why should that be a reason that God loves you? This is what Nachmanides says. In other words, if the Jews have to be told it's not because of your numbers that God loves you, that means that they could have thought that it is because of numbers. Since when should numbers become a reason? So he says like this. He says, this Nachmanides' commentary on the Torah. He says, because we could have thought that there's more power to the king, there's more majesty in having numbers. Rov am hadras melech, which is even a legal concept. That Jews, when you do things and you daven in a larger synagogue with more people to do a mitzvah together, it gives a greater majesty. Numbers create majesty. In fact, actually, it's brought down in Jewish, in halacha, in the Shulchan Aruch, according to many opinions, if there are two synagogues, you should daven in the synagogue that has larger numbers. Because that way you are part of a larger group and there's more glory to God to create a large institution. Unless if it's a difference between davening in a base medrash and a synagogue, so then the quality of davening in the place that you learn overweighs numbers. But that's certainly a very major consideration, that numbers should be a consideration as to where you daven. So that's not a small concept. My only problem with that is as follows. Assuming that's correct. So the Nachmanides says that the value of numbers is because greater numbers is a greater glory of God. And my question on that is, so then why did God choose us? If greater numbers is a greater glory of God, then why did God choose us? He should have chosen the Chinese. They have greater numbers. There would be more glory to God. So I saw the Sephorna says a very interesting thing here. He seems to understand that God didn't choose us with a large number so that we shouldn't think that he has his agenda. His glory is his agenda. But we're his agenda. In other words, the sentence says, I didn't choose the nation that has more numbers, even though to me that would be a greater glory, because I want you to know that I didn't do it for myself, I did it for you. But that itself is, again, very difficult. God has to justify that the reason he didn't choose, that we would have thought that God's only interested in God. It's hard to believe that. All right, anyway, so the various interpretations leave a lot of questions open. The questions I want to deal with is, number one, why should we think we're more in numbers? And number two, what really is the reason he didn't choose us if the numbers are greater? The way I would read the sentence is as follows. based on everything we've been saying, I would read the sentences, the reason he would take more numbers, and maybe this is what Nachmanides means, it doesn't mean because God would be interested in God. Because if there's more numbers, they can do the job. Because God is, the sentence is taking on my question. I'm telling you I didn't take you even though you're, because of your great numbers. What would have been the thought because of your great numbers? Because then you can do my job. You can fix up international brotherhood. That's the stated purpose of the Jewish people. So you can do the job. Lo me rubchem mikol amim. The reason I would have thought that God took us and shows us as his nation is because we can do the job. In order to do the job, you need numbers. And therefore, God has to tell us he didn't take us because of numbers. But the reason that he would have taken us is because you can only do the job if you have money. You don't have the critical mass of people to be able to change the world. But what's the answer? If that's true, then what's the answer? If you need a critical mass to choose the world, we're not going to say that the answer is that's not our stated purpose. That is the stated purpose of the Jewish people, to fix ourselves up and to fix up the world. Now look at Rashi. Lo mi rubchem, this is to be understood simply, not because of your numbers. And it's Medrash is, since you do not aggrandize yourselves when I bestow goodness upon you, therefore I desired you. See, it says, Lo mi rubchem mikol amim is since you don't go around haughty, therefore I desired you. In other words, it has nothing to do with seemingly numbers. Loi merubchem, because you don't make yourselves big. Now let's look at the sentence. Ki atem hama'at mikolam Rashi. You are the least. You are the ones who belittle yourselves. Like Abraham said, I am dust and ashes, or Moses and Aaron who said, and what are we? Unlike Nebuchadnezzar and the other kings who said, we're like God, or God-like, and who among all the gods are as powerful as us, or I myself am a god, all the different... So now listen to the way Rashi reads it. Rashi reads, not because you don't aggrandize yourself, really means is that I would have thought because you make yourselves powerful, I would have chosen you, but it's not true, you make yourself smaller. Why would I think because people make themselves self-aggrandizement, that would be a reason that God should choose them? I think there's a very profound insight here, and I think, for me, it becomes the answer to that question. Most of us have bought into the feeling that what really generates movement, change, influence, is a feeling of success. You create a Madison Avenue image of success, power, and therefore people get caught up in your wake. They join the movement, they become part of the movers, shakers, and changers of the world, and therefore I would have thought that God should really choose us because merubchem. Even if you don't learn merubchem means numbers. Let's say the Rashi doesn't learn it's the numbers, it means you make yourself great. I would think that making yourself great, marking yourself properly is actually a very positive thing. Not because they want to be people, they want to just feel arrogant. In order to do the job, you got to market yourself. You got to show you're a success. You got to show that you're powerful, and therefore you're going to be able to fulfill your stated purpose of international brotherhood. That's what I could have thought. And therefore, the Torah is telling us a very important message. That's not the way to do it. Lo me rubchem, not because you aggrandize yourself. That means I would have thought because you aggrandize yourself, that would be a reason God should choose you. What, God wants arrogant people? No, it just means that if you project yourself as being successful and powerful, then you become a very, very important influence in the world. And therefore, that is a very positive thing. Not that Jews want it for arrogant reasons, but they want to create an image of success so that we can influence others. The Torah is saying, no, that's not the way. Loi merubchem, not because of that. Why not? Why not? Why shouldn't that? That's the way most of us believe you can influence others. Success is the way you can influence others. As you said, if I had a million, what is it? If I was a rich man, I'd sit on the Eastern Wall and people would come and ask me for advice. That's what people think. You're rich, you're successful, therefore you become a mover and shaker. By definition, you must be smart if you're rich, and successful means God is shining his light upon you, and therefore you become a source of influence. Lo merubcha. That's not... Kiatem hama'atni kolam. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, what does that mean? It means you belittle yourself. I think here, in this sentence, is giving us the whole ability how to create change, the whole ability to affect others. A person has to view himself as a facilitator to empower others, not as a get people in a wake, join me, join our movement. If you don't empower others, at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to really influence. Influence is not a feeling of join. Influence is to change people, to influence them. You have to make them great. Probably at the end of the day, 70 years, communism died, dropped dead, eroded, because it did not empower its people. It didn't give the people a sense of power, a sense of success. Hitler, Yamach Shemo, did give the people the feeling. It wasn't join us. You are the greatest. You're the Aryan race. You're the supreme race. He was the least Aryan-looking German. I mean, he was the exact opposite of what an Aryan was supposed to look like. It's not me. I'm talking about empowering you. The influence of a person is not predicated on join me, join my bandwagon. It is, I'm here for one purpose, to empower you. You are great. You're great. You become a source of power to somebody, then you give them the ability to, then a person will follow and change. Success really means you're successful, and they should be swept up on your bandwagon. That really is counterproductive to what a person feels good. First of all, it creates really the opposite feeling. It creates the potential for the leadership exploiting the people. You know, join our bandwagon. You know, we're successful, and then, of course, what that really means is we're going to, the rest of the public is going to serve us. The rest of the public is going to, we're going to exploit them like the dictators or quasi-elected officials do in South America, in the Philippines. That whole feeling is really, you know, join the party. It really means let me exploit you. I'm really interested in my success. Yeah, listen, I'll take you along too. It'll take you long. I mean, if I can, I'm going to take advantage of you. The message of leadership is not join me. The message of leadership is I have only one purpose, to empower you. It's not because you are going to create a model of success that people are going to want to join to. It's not, that's right. Rashi has nothing to do with numbers. We'll talk about how numbers is the same function. It's not because we're trying to create a model that people are going to want to emulate and imitate. This is the way, and you can join the group. Joining a group doesn't give a person a sense of you're interested in him. That's you're interested in yourself, and you're just interested in enlarging your base of power. And listen, if other people will benefit, that's fine too. You're not against that. The basic philosophy is gatem hama'atni kolam. In all the relationships, you're not interested in yourself. You're making yourself smaller. You're interested in empowering others. If that's your view of society and your view of leadership, that you really feel your ability is to serve the public, to make them something, then people are going to follow in your way. Hitler writes a very interesting thing in Mein Kampf. I never really understood it till this week. He writes that change is always done, he says, change is always done by fanatics. He says, you show me any change and I'll show you the fanatic that did it. Which then really gave me the sense, this I always understood about him, is that it's really very few people. 10 people changed the course of world history. Right? The putsch was 10 people. Hitler took over Germany, started with a nucleus of 10 people, a vision for the German people of how great. That was a nation that had already a rich history of intellectual history, a rich in science, rich in the arts, in culture. I mean, they were down. They just gotten clobbered after the First World War. There was an economic recession, and now there's a hope. There's 80 million people bought into that. They weren't following in his wake. He's telling them how great they are. It doesn't take a lot of people. It takes a focus of leadership. The focus of leadership is not join our bandwagon. The focus of leadership is you are great. That's what the sentence is saying. Lo'im me'rubchem mikol ha'amu. It's not that people, you have to be successful and the model and people are going to join. What you have to be is someone that is focused on empowering others. The sense of empowering people is what gives them the feeling that this is the way, what they want to be. And therefore, it doesn't really take a lot of people. Takes a change of focus, and we all have to change our focus, every single one of us. Whatever group we want to do, those of us, let's say they're involved in Kiruv, you know, outreach. Now I'm saying those of us sitting in this room, I'm saying those Jews that most of Kiruv is join us. Join the group. Hasidic group, join the Hasidic. That stream, join that. Don't become Lithuanian or the opposite. Don't become a Hasid. That's not Judaism. Judaism doesn't mean join the group. Judaism means it's a vision had on power others. Unless you have such a myopic view of Judaism that your group is the only legitimate thing, but that itself is a self-defeating vision. You have to have a vision that we have a number of different ways, and there's a way for everybody to find their place. And therefore, our vision has to change. We're interested in being a kind of person, not join me. Vision is what will be the way that you will find your fulfillment and your expression. As long as we're trying to join us, and if you join any other Hasidic group or any other Lithuanian group other than us, you're not a real Jew, then you were given exactly, then you can't influence anybody. Then you really can't influence anybody. You can influence the few people to join. The whole focus has to be different. And even to the rest of the nations of the world, we don't proselytize. We're not interested in going and becoming Jewish. That's not even part of our stated purpose. It's the last thing that Jew wants to do. And the opposite. Kushim, the Talmud says, Kushim, Gerim, Yisur, Kisaisa, Sapakas. It's the stated purposes that we shouldn't. See, that's not just a simple message of don't proselytize. That's a message of what we have to do is help people find their fulfillment. They don't want to become Jews, fine. But does that mean they can't be connected to God? Does that mean that they can't have an eternal relationship with God? Of course not. There's seven Noahide laws. Yes, you can't create a reality that's not there. You can't go ahead and constantly flatter people no matter whatever they are. That's acceptable. That's not empowering anybody. That's just flattering them to that's the most weakening thing. Because then a person lives in the world of delusion. You're not supposed to flatter people that what they're doing and accept them for they are and no matter what you do, that's great. That's also terrible. Empowering a person means you give him a standard, you give him a vision for himself, you give him a message for what he can handle and how he can genuinely grow. That is our, we do have a responsibility to make sure the world does observe the Noahide laws. But Noahide laws are empowering to a person. There's morality, there's family, there's a sense of honesty. You can walk in the streets, you don't have to be afraid your wife's going to be taken. There's a family values. That's something that empowers people. That's a message we can give. That means we're not telling you to be Jewish. Once you tell someone to be Jewish, then it already becomes almost a contradiction. Who are you interested in? You want the Jews to be more powerfully interested in me? Hama'ami kol ha'amim means that you don't try and aggrandize yourself. Even though there's a thought, because most of us live in the delusion that self-aggrandizement for the right reason, it's just to create the image of success that people are going to be able to follow in the wake. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is hama'ami kol ha'amim. We have this enormous responsibility. The enormous responsibility is to get the job done of international brotherhood. Therefore, I would have thought, and therefore the Torah has to tell me, you need enormous numbers for this, and God should only choose the ones who have numbers. I said, this is what Nachmanides means, that a king can't function without a large bit. And therefore, I would have thought that God should choose the ones that create the image of power and success. And the answer to that is no, I don't choose. To get the job done, image of power and success is not going to do it. Because people are going to ultimately feel you're not interested in them. You're just trying to make yourself more powerful, more successful by having a larger numbers. It's because the opposite. Your function and vision is to make yourself smaller and to empower some others, to empower them who they are. And therefore, it's not clearly you're not trying to make yourself stronger by adding to your numbers. You're trying to make them powerful. That's the way you get the job done. Vayivchar b'chem, Hashem chose you. I think what chose you means, chose you to do the job. Not because you have a lot, but because you have this philosophy.
Other people can do the dirty work. We have to do the dirty work. But here, we're using the language, and you
You're talking about when in taking over the land of Israel. The land of Israel. But even this, by the way, Maimonides writes that they were all Jews never entered into any war without giving people the option of making peace. This war, even these wars included. Jews never entered into a war. Then they didn't go and do a blitzkrieg against Poland. Every single war we entered into began with let's make peace. Every war. We never entered into a war other than that. Here too. No. That's if they don't want to make peace. If they didn't want to make peace, the Rambam writes, that's a condition. And by the way, even when we fought, one of the 613 mistresses, you have to leave those that don't want, even if the nation doesn't want to make peace, but when you fight a war, you can't even surround your enemies. You have to allow the people who don't want to engage in war to escape. I mean, that's not exactly what Hitler did. So even when you have the right on your side, and you have this is your land, and they knew it was your land, even then you gave them the choice of peace. And also, in those that didn't want to engage, let's say the country as a whole, you had to leave open a side so that they could escape. If they're all engaging in war, then I think afterwards you probably could lock it in. But you have to leave openings that people can run away. People can run away. That's another, I mean, that is a whole other issue. Maybe sometime we can talk about that, which is actually what you bring up, and this is probably the main answer to it also, is the difference the way we wage war and the way the others wage war, just because we think God is on our side. And you know, everybody thinks God is on their side. So what I'm saying is that if you take a look at the Jewish law, it's that we wage war totally different. War is only the last resort of not making peace, giving the enemy always the option of peace. Everybody, even Amalek, the Rambam says, by the way, even Amalek, that the Riva disagrees, not Amalek. You know, that's the arch enemy of evil. But the Rambam says even Amalek, but every other nation, everybody agrees. And even then, after you wage war, you have to leave them out to get out. It's not a liquidation. It's not a genocide. The people who don't want war can leave. Yeah, that's what it means. When you fight against the city, that doesn't mean, I think, if everybody is fighting and then when they start losing, you don't have to let them escape. But if the people who, when the war starts, you have to leave that the people who don't want to engage in war have the right to escape. Have the ability, and you don't follow them. That's a law in the Torah. You have to leave over an open side. Nachmanides says it's one of the 613 mitzvahs.
So this notion that comes from time to time of Jewish superiority is totally contradictory with this, because you cannot be superior and at the same time
that's
tell
it.
People that they're
that's
maximizing it. Themselves
that's
on
it.
Their own terms.
100%. Well, that's what I'm saying. If you take a look, the sentence is telling you it's not because you're superior. You could have thought that, and therefore God had to put, because most of us believe it's our superiority. Yeah, let's get attached to the smart Jews, the ones who'll be the leaders in science, the leaders in that. Let's attach ourselves to smart Jews, and we would have thought that's the way to make the sell, and that's the way to influence. And by Yifkar Bum, because God chose it, was because of that. Because that's what influences people. God says, no, that's not the way to do it. That's not the message. But if God had to tell me that, then you understand that people could make that mistake.
Clearly state that we believe that we're superior. The Ramchal says in Derech Hashem, and the conclusion of the book says, and the Goyim, if they do the best that they can, in the Geulah, they'll come to live up to serving the Jewish people, and that will be the best portion that they're going
to
get.
Listen to what Solomon said. Superiority is a function if I'm better than you. Each person has to fulfill his potential. If you have a child with 150 IQ, another child with 120 IQ, is one child better than the other? It just means that what the responsibilities of a child with 150 IQ are greater than the responsibilities, but each one has to perfect themselves. All we're saying is, we're not saying we don't have more potential, but that doesn't make me better than you. Your responsibility is to fill your potential, and my responsibility is to fill my potential. And my responsibility is not to make you like me. My responsibility is that you should be who you can be. And when you start judging that your child who is 120 by the standard 150, you're destroying that child. And you're not doing him any favors. You have to, you, each person has to be who they can be, and why God chose some people this way, that's a different question. Or why, but each person has to fulfill his potential. That's our responsibility, to make sure everybody fulfills their potential. But I see this as much worse than the question to the Goyim. This is what we deal with Jews improperly. When we're Makar of Jews, it means if you join the Ashkenazi synagogue, then you'll be saved. You have to give each person the feeling that they have to perfect who they are, not they have to become like you. And we've become so polarized. That's a cult mentality. The cult mentality is you're saved if you join the cult. Jews are not a cult. Judaism is not a cult. It's not you're saved if you join the cult. You're saved if you become who you can be. And each person, and there's many different legitimate streams of in Judaism, and you have to not tell people they only become legitimate, they become like you. They have to become who they can become. Yeah, of course, if there's a stream that's not that legitimate, that's a different thing, but there's enough legitimate stream. But the litmus test is, when you're Makara people, you bring them in, do they have to become like you? If they have to become like you, then you have, first of all, you're not going to be successful. Because bottom line, you're not empowering anybody. You'll get a few people that like your success, but bottom line is you have to be able to empower others. And the only way is by making yourself smaller and not trying to increase your numbers or your sphere of influence, because at the end of the day, that's going to erode your ability to affect anybody. Let me just conclude one other variant. Look at one word that's repeated here. You don't have this in the Chumash, it is, but no one has this translation. Lo meirubchem mikol ha'amim. Not from your numbers among all the nations, right? Then the end of the sentence, ki atem hama'at mikol ha'amim. So the words mikol ha'amim is repeated twice in the sentence. Mikol ha'amim means from all the nations. Got that? Not from your number, your superiority of all the nations, but because you're less than all the nations. The word mikol ha'amim is repeated. The exact same word. In Targum Yonason, I noticed that he translates the same word in the sentence differently. The same two words. Kol ha'amim, the first one he translates, mikulin umaya, from all the nations. Umaya spelled with an aleph. The second mikol ha'amim, he translates mikol, instead of mikulhon, from all of them, Kol ha'amim amimaya, with an ayin. You know, in Hebrew we have the word mikol ha'amim twice. In the Yonas and Ben Uziel Aramaic translation, those two words, the same two words in the same sentence, are translated differently. Just tell you my read on this. The first one he translates mikol ha'amim means from all the nations. He translates mikulhon from all of Umaya with an aleph. That means nation, but that word nation means a political structure of nation. That you are not greater than all the combined political entities, the political idea of a nation. But you are less mikol ha'amim from each and every individual person. There he translates the word amamaya with an ayin. Not with the word umma in Hebrew. Means nation. The word am means nation. With an aleph, it means nation, and with a ayin, it means nation. The way I understand the difference between those two words is, with an aleph, it means nation, but it means a political entity. A nation has a political entity. With an ayin, it just means people. In fact, a lot of times the word am, it just means people. The hamon am, it just means people. What he's saying is like this. Not only shouldn't you view yourself as the greatest political entity, but you should feel you're even less than the other people you deal with. Either way, he translates the same word. Don't think you are great. God chose you because you are the greatest political entity. But he chose you because you make yourself less, not than political entities. You make yourself less than the people that you interact with. Mikol Amamaya, from all the people, from each and every individual people. It's not the Jews should not only not have a vision that they are a superior race or a superior political entity, but they should even, we make ourselves smaller, Mikol Amamaya, from all the people we deal with. That's a very powerful message. Here, the two words, Mikol HaAmim, he translates in the first half of the sentence, means you're not greater, it's not God didn't choose you because you're greater than all the nations, all the political entities, but the opposite, you make yourself smaller. Mikol HaAmim doesn't mean from the other political entities, you make yourself smaller from all the individuals you deal with also. And that's actually what he's bringing down, Abraham. It's a way of dealing with people also. It's not just a way of dealing as a political animal. That as a political animal, we don't believe the Jews are the greatest nation of the world, but of course an individual, but even on an individual basis, you make yourself smaller. You don't make yourself bigger than other human beings either. It's clear that he translates those two words differently. When he talks about greatness, he's talking about greater than all political, than greater than every political entity of nation. And that's not why God chose you. God chose you because you make yourself smaller, not smaller than political nations. You make yourself smaller, and we call Amamaya, than the people you deal with. The way of influencing, moving people is you're there for one purpose, to make the other people, to empower others, not that they should, not to lead them. The ultimate leadership is giving power to the people. The Gemara says in the Dharm, the definition of a king is, I'm not a king, I'm a servant. A king, that's what the Gemara says in Chaf Beis in the Dharm. Loi melech anla, a king says, I'm not your king, I'm your servant. As they say in English too, just usually not correct. A public servant means to serve the public. Most people think public servant means that the public, most leaders think the public serves them. But the definition of public servant means you're there to serve. That is word for word from the Talmud. A king is not a king. A king is a servant of the public. What does that mean? Because a servant empowers this. People will listen. They'll take a message. They'll be influenced. And if we want to question our motives, and it's very hard, you know, we all have ways of justifying our behavior. It's a very simple litmus test. Are you interested in people joining you? Are you interested in people becoming who they can become? Anyway, to me, the question, for those that came late, started with, this is a question that bothered me for a few years. Since Lutzato says, our stated purpose is, and he says, that's what the Mishnah says. Rabbi Yomer, Judah the Prince said, Ezri derech sheyoverlei adam, what is the path of a man should choose in life? This is the first Mishnah, the second chapter of Pirkei Avos, of Ethics of the Fathers. Kol shehit teferes lo seha, all that's majestic for the person that does it, the teferes lo min ha'adam. So he translates it this way. Teferes lo seha, majestic for the person that does it, teferes lo min ha'adam means, these are exact words, tikkun achlas hamedinas, establishing international brotherhood. Means the purpose of Jews is to perfect ourselves and to perfect the world. Not just the condominium, not just the block, not just the shul, not just the community, international brotherhood. My question on that was, how, if you don't have a critical mass, you have such a small amount of people, how can you have that kind of influence? What history has taught us is the truth of this sentence. The way you influence others is not getting them to join you, but you empower them. If something that empowers people will be something that people will buy into. That will be something that people will want to do. That's the way we will be able to influence others. Set up a system, inform them how they can find better lives, how they can become close to eternity, how they can elevate themselves. Not give the message, join us. That's not the message. Loi Merukim, that God did not say, you are a lot of people and the way you're going to fulfill your state of purpose is getting people on board. That's not the way it is. The way it is to help each person find their way of fulfilling themselves. And that's the way, there's only one way. You make yourself smaller. I say, not only you make yourself smaller as a political entity, you make yourself smaller on an individual basis there. In all relationships, our responsibility is to empower others. Put yourself down. This is not for your sake. It's in order that the other person can grow. If we have this philosophy, then we'll be able to fulfill, and only then we'll be able to fulfill our stated purpose. If our focus is to empower others rather than to make ourselves strong by people joining with us and shouldering together our goals, we'll be able to influence others. That's the only way. That's the only way we can fulfill our purpose. And God has to tell us this. Don't think it's because of numbers. That's not the way. In the end of the day, that's not what's going to do it. Success is not the message of join us, because there's nothing for the people following in the wake. They always remain second class, and they're getting the shirayim, the leftovers of your success. It's to figure out how others can find their fulfillment.